Bibles there, stand if you're able. We're going to read several passages that we have looked at over the past couple of weeks, starting with Psalm 33, 12. Psalm 33, 12. Our next one is going to be Psalm 75, 5. This one is Psalm 33, 12. And we have been teaching and preaching about selection and election and how we should pick a candidate and what we should look for. And based upon the biblical knowledge that we have, choosing someone that God would have in the office, understanding that nobody's perfect. Amen. There's never been a perfect president in the White House, amen? Not going to be a perfect president until Jesus is king, amen? Amen? And then we'll have perfection, amen? And still have unruly subjects at that point, amen? Psalm 33, 12, read that with me together, here we go. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And then come over to Psalm 75, 5. Psalm 75:5, and I'm not going to preach on these verses, but just a reminder of the past several weeks that we have been visiting this subject. Psalm 75:5, and we're going to read verses 5, 6, and 7. Read that with me. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Amen. And then come over with me to Proverbs 14 and verse 34. And again, these are all verses that we have visited over the past few weeks. Proverbs 14 and verse 34, talking about the selection and election. Proverbs 14:34, read that with me. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Amen, amen. And the last one is Proverbs 21, verse 1. Proverbs 21 and verse 1. And I like this one especially. Proverbs 21, verse 1, and read that with me. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Amen. And notice verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Amen. Father, bless now these next moments that we have as we consider the subject. Voting is done now and what for Christians. Lord, work in our hearts, Lord, help the listeners that are viewing online to be attentive, and may the message and the scriptures and the content affect their lives for the glory of God. Lord, the same for the members that are here, the visitors and the friends, that, Lord, the word of God would hit the heart of each and every child of God, and we would leave here differently than when we came in, Lord, more enlightened on the will of God, more knowledgeable about the word of God, Lord, and then more instructed on the will of God for our nation. We thank you and love you and praise you, Lord. If there is again one here without Christ, help that man, woman, boy, or girl, one listening online, help them receive Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've got several things here that we're going to be talking about over the next week, the title of the message is Voting is Done, Now What for Christians? Amen? Voting is done, now what for Christians? Brother Aaron sent a group text out that embodied the Christian's response, and it said this: no matter who's president, Jesus is king. Amen. Amen. And I'm sure some of you probably saw that. Some of you probably sent that. Some of you probably forwarded that as well. But that just embodies the Christian response. No matter who's president, Jesus is king. Our responsibility is and always has been to our king, Jesus. Amen. Always has been. Amen. Nothing has changed. By the way, as we move on to President-elect Biden and Senator Harris as vice president, as we move on to that, nothing really changes for us as Christians. Does that surprise you? nothing really changes for us. Go over in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. You say, preacher, nothing changes. Nothing really changes. Hebrews chapter 12. And see, Hebrews chapter 12 talks about you and I. By the way, if you didn't know this, you and I are in a race. Y'all know that? They know you're in a race? And Hebrews 12 speaks about that race. And notice what he says here in Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, had been talking about some past events in chapter 11. And these witnesses are witnesses to what's going on in our lives. Amen. And you and I are in that same group. Amen. Somebody's watching us, namely Jesus Christ. Amen. He's watching what we do. So we're compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Notice this. And let us run with what? Patience. That's cheerful or hopeful endurance. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. By the way, you can't run somebody else's race.
Amen.
Nor can somebody run your race. You've got to stay in your lane. You've got to run your race. And your race is for you and you alone. You get outside of your race, you're disqualified. Amen. Nothing out there for you. Inside your lane, on your race, there's everything that God has for you. So notice what he says there. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How are we to run this race? Verse number 2. Looking unto who? Jesus. And that's why what Aaron said so much embodies our response. No matter who's president, Jesus is king. Looking unto Jesus, notice this, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So nothing really changes. Our race has not changed. We still have to run our race. We still are headed towards Jesus. We still are keeping our eyes on him. It's never been about keeping our eyes on what's going on around us, because that will distract you. It's never been about looking at who's in office. It's never been about looking at who's around me. It's never been about that. Never. So nothing really changes for the Christian. Now, will it affect how we do business and things like that? Of course it will. Will it affect our children growing up behind us? Of course it will. But it doesn't nullify the fact that you and I are still running a race and we're still looking unto Jesus despite what's going on around us. Were we running the race during Trump administration? Yes, we were. Were we running the race during the Obama administration? Yes, we were. Were we running the race when it was the Bush administration? Yes, we were. And you go down and down and down. And guess what? We were still running the race, and some of those situations may have affected us, but it did not deter our race, because we're looking unto Jesus. These things are going to come and go around us. By the way, Biden's going to come, Biden's going to go. Harris is going to come, Harris is going to go. A new person will be up on the next presidency. He may do 8 years, he may do 4 years, but guess what? That doesn't change what we do.
Amen.
It doesn't change our race at all. So nothing really changes. Nothing changed our race when same-sex marriage was approved nationwide, did it? Did it change the way you had handled your Christianity? No, you just had to put up with same-sex marriages around you. By the way, let me say this. Never get anesthetized to the abominable act that it is.
Amen.
We can get so used to seeing it that we think, well, you know, there's another one. No, it should disgust us every time we see it. Now, not the people.
Amen.
Not the people. You hate the sin, you love the sinner. But we get so anesthetized to seeing it that it's just commonplace. Never get used to it. It's an abomination to God. Always has been, always will be. We love the sinner, but we hate sin.
Amen.
Nothing changed our race when same-sex marriage was approved nationwide. Nothing changed our race. Nothing will change our race if the LGBT supporters change our laws. Nothing will change our race if abortion laws are modified and approved more. Nothing will change our race now that recreational use of marijuana has passed. Nothing will change our race. Nothing changed our race when alcohol became legal years ago. We're still running our race, and nothing will change our race no matter who's in the White House. No matter what laws they make, we still have a higher law and a higher authority.
Amen.
So it matters not what happens around us. It matters not what gets approved over here and what gets approved over here. Yes, it may make it difficult for us. Yes, we may have to be more tolerable with people on our jobs that have this lifestyle, but we should never get used to the fact where, that's okay. It's never okay, never will be, never has been. Sin is still sin, it's still ugly. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so no matter who's president, Jesus is king, and Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 still applies. Our responsibility as Christians is, and always has been, first to our King, Jesus. Let me stick to my notes on this next part so I don't get messed up. Amen. The election is over, and the majority of the American people have chosen Biden and Harris to lead this nation. First, there's a historical accomplishment. Senator Harris, first female vice president-elect. She's the first black Asian vice president-elect. It's two historical accomplishments. You can't get around that. You can't get around that. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's an accomplishment. You have now had a black president in the office and now a vice president. You can't get around the historical accomplishment of that. That means that anybody can get in those offices if they are elected. That's a historical accomplishment. You can't get away from that. I'm not talking about her moral stand. I'm not talking about her political affiliation. I'm talking about the fact of the matter. Fact of the matter is that about 100 years ago, blacks couldn't even vote. Now we've had a president and a vice president. That's a historical accomplishment. Got nothing to do with her political affiliation. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just about the fact of the matter. And you have to say praise God for America. We have that capability. And so with that in mind, they both have proven themselves to be capable leaders. Biden underneath Obama for 8 years as the vice president. They both proven to be capable leaders and politicians. And I believe they will do a good job in many areas for our country. I'm not negating that fact. I believe they will do a lot of good in this nation. I just believe that. Now, am I endorsing the candidacy? I am not doing it. I'm just speaking factual. Did President Trump do a lot of good in this country? Yes, he did. Did he do a lot of bad? Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. The fact of the matter is, as with all administrations, there will be good and there will be bad. No one is perfect. There's never been a perfect president. Enjoy the good. How many of y'all enjoy those stimulus checks? Amen. If you didn't, give it to me. I'll take it. Amen. Okay. How many enjoy it every time President Trump got on the tweet, started tweeting some stuff? What am I saying? You enjoy the good, and the bad is still disgusting. It doesn't make it right. And it doesn't make it sense. Every presidency will have good and it'll have bad. It'll have good points, it'll have bad points. It'll have good laws, it'll have bad laws. Same-sex marriage was a bad law. You say, preacher, that's your religious belief. No, that's God's belief. I just happen to agree with God.
Amen.
Amen. We've run our race with alcohol being legal for many years. We've run the same our race with same-sex marriage being legal for 4 years. And guess what? We'll need to continue running our race with new legalizations until Jesus comes. There's always going to be a new legalization of something that God says is wrong. Amen.
Amen.
Come on now. I'm just saying. However, keep in mind that political journalists and officials have said this, and this is a paraphrase of a quote that they made. Political journalists and officials said America will be more liberal than it has ever been in its existence over the next 4 years. That's what the politicians have said, and that's what the journalists have said, that America will be more liberal than it's ever been over the next 4 years in its allowances and its tolerances. I'm just saying. Why? To please a wider majority of people. Got to get them under the umbrella. Hey, the Pope is going online with a same-sex marriage and lesbian and gay. Think about it. Who is our president? The Pope is worldwide. Our president is only for states. My mother used to say that, by the way, no matter what becomes acceptable by law, we can never get anesthetized to sin. It is not acceptable to God. It's not acceptable to us. There's a real danger. You and I get anesthetized to sin. From what's tolerant and legal in America, we join in and start doing it. Just because the world's doing it doesn't make it right.
Right.
My mother used to say when I was a kid, it's because everybody jump off the cliff. You're going to jump off too. And for some, it depends on what's on the other side. This is another statement my mother made. If you throw a frog in boiling, water, he'll jump out. But if you put him in cold water and slowly turn up the heat, you can boil him without him jumping out. What's the meaning behind that? We can get so anesthetized to sin that we're in it, we're fried. Boiled, whatever the case may be. Same-sex marriage is legal. Have nothing to do with the Obama administration. It's commonplace now. Should we get used to it?
No.
But if we're not careful, we will. If we're not careful, we will. And every other thing that is legalized over the next 4 years that is contrary to the Word of God, if we get anesthetized to it, start accepting it as right, we're going to be in trouble. I believe America's already on a slippery slope, being prepared for its downfall through the Antichrist to take it over. And this is just one of those stepping stones. And so I believe that if we ever get used to sin, we're going to be in trouble. By the way, going forward in a more liberal America, we must continue hating sin and loving the sinner. And if America is going to become more liberal, then what is the will of God for the nation? By the way, it still hasn't changed. Proverbs 14:34, we just read it. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It still has not changed, no matter who's in the White House, whether it's Trump or Pence, Biden or Harris, Obama and Biden. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. What matters is what you and I do. What matters is what we stand for. Matthew 5 tells us what God wants Christians in the nation to do over the next 4 years. And guess what? It's the same that we did in the last 4 years. Matthew 5, many of us know the scripture. We should be able to quote it, especially if you listen on Wednesday nights. Amen. Matthew chapter number 5. And notice down there in verse number 13. What does God want for us? What Jesus preached about on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:13. Read that verse 13 with me. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. In other words, Jesus said, I want you to be some salt. Make a difference. Make a difference. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give light unto all that are in the house. What is Jesus telling this group of believers at this time? He said, your salt, go out and make a difference. Your light, go out and shine. Notice verse 16, read with me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus wants us to be salt and light in our cities, in our states, in our nations, in our homes, wherever we go, on our jobs. By the way, If we do that, it's not going to matter what's going on around us. By the way, if you are salt and light, people will be uncomfortable in their sin around you, even if you love them. Did Jesus love people? Yes, he did. Were people still uncomfortable around him? Yes, they were. And he loved them. He was the epitome of love. And they still had problems with him. So if you love the sinner and hate their sin, and if you're salt and light, guess what? They're not going to be around you a whole lot. And may I dare say that probably you ought not be around them either. Amen. Why? You'll get anesthetized sooner or later to their behavior and what they're doing. Birds of a feather do what? Fly together. Amen. It's not Bible, but it's true. So what do we do in preparation for the years ahead? Remember, we stood for the Bible through the passing of the same-sex marriage, and we can stand for the Bible in the days ahead, no matter what laws are passed. Do we know what laws will be passed? No, we really don't. We have an idea of what laws may be passed. Yeah, we do. And so that changed what we do as a Christian. It really shouldn't. Why? Because we're looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so over the next couple of messages, we're going to look at some people that had to stand. And let me just read off a few. Jesus stood when Pilate was in charge, and he was not ugly about it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Did you ever find Jesus being ugly with Pilate? No, he wasn't. Paul stood in Rome when Nero was in charge and accusing Christians, and he wasn't ugly about it. Matter of fact, he said, submit to the government. Wow, there's one. They're trying to kill you, you got to submit to them? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood in Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar was in charge, and they weren't ugly about it. Amen. Moses stood when Pharaoh was in charge, and he wasn't ugly about it. Joseph stood when Pharaoh was in charge, and he wasn't ugly about it. Lot even managed to stand when it came to his doorstep, and he was forced to make a choice, and he wasn't ugly about it. He just said, do not so wickedly. Now, he could have went out and said, you sodomizers, you ungodly people. But he didn't say that. By the way, the angels put him inside anyway, and angels took over. So we can stand for the Bible, and we don't have to be ugly. The one thing people don't want to see is an ugly Christian. Getting out on Twitter. Well, I'll tell you what that's true, man. That's a sodomy, isn't it? Just disgusting. And people that do that are just abominable. People don't want to hear that. If you're going to do something, give a Bible verse. They'll get mad at you if you try. Don't be ugly. We don't have to be ugly over the next 4 years. We had enough ugly last 4 years. Somebody say amen. Now, I don't agree with all of what Trump did, but I can tell you what. Certain things didn't get passed under his administration. Certain things that got passed under Obama's administration. Now, I'm not saying Obama's a bad president either. He did a lot of good. But he did some bad, too. Trump did some bad. But he did some good, too. Biden and Harris can do some good. But they can do some bad, too. Why? At the end of the day, they're just sinners. They're just sinners. So if all these people stood without being ugly, can you and I stand at our jobs, in our homes, with our relatives, in the community, on the internet? Can we stand without being ugly? Yes, we can. How can we? Keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, laying aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us, because they can detract from our ministry. By the way, I preached a message years ago about the presidency, and I said, if you had a choice between Barabbas and Judas Iscariot, which one would you choose? And kind of equated them to the candidates. And actually, well, who would you pick, Judas or Barabbas? Barabbas was a murderer and an insurrectionist. He was loud and open about it. Judas was a devil and a thief. But may I submit to you that people on both sides like both of them? The disciples liked Judas because they didn't know his true character was on. Jesus handpicked Judas because he knew he had to have someone that could play the part without retracting from his ministry. Barabbas, on the other hand, was a murderer and insurrectionist. People liked him because he stood up to the government. And they didn't like Roman oppression and Roman rule. And so Who would you pick, Barabbas or Judas? And sometimes those happen to be our choices. Amen. And the person that you pick is the one that is closest to the agenda that you stand for. Now, our agenda is God. Guess what? We'll make our choices based on morality. If not, we're going to make it for Barabbas and we're going to make it for Judas, whichever one looks good to us. Amen. Let me give you this first one and we're going to go ahead and close. Amen. You and I have to stand for the Bible way now more than ever, with many other things that may get enacted to law in the days ahead and become acceptable. By the way, your employer or your employee may come in with marijuana. It's legal now. They can do that. So what are you going to do? It's legal. Just like same-sex marriage is legal. You can't say anything to them. Well, you're illegally married. They can pull out a little birth certificate. What do you call that thing?
Marriage
certificate. I'm sure they'll go on the wedding certificate. That doesn't sound right. Amen. A marriage certificate. So they say, look, by the laws of whatever state, I'm married legally. Jane and Jan. Bill and Bob. What are you going to do? Be ugly? You abominable person. No. You still got to love them. And you still got to live according to the word of God. Let me give you this first one and then we're going to close. Because throughout this, over the next message, we're going to take a look at Daniel and hear some of the things done out of the book of Daniel. And so we can gauge our path for the present, and then our potential future. By the way, Daniel lived in Babylon with Babylon rules that were deemed right to Babylon. There's only one problem with that. Daniel's not Babylonian. Daniel's a Jew. Certain laws in this country may get enacted. And guess what? You're not a citizen of this country in that respect. You're a citizen of heaven. Amen. So no matter what laws may get enacted, you don't have to get involved in those. Somebody say amen. Let me give you point number one. Daniel's purpose led to requests. Daniel's purpose led to requests. Go to Daniel 1, verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Of course, we all know Daniel's purpose in his heart, not to defile himself. And by the way, that half battle right there. If you don't have a purpose in your heart to stand for something, you'll fall for anything. It just goes without saying. Daniel 1:8. Daniel's purpose led to request. Notice Daniel 1:8. Of course, you know the story. Most of us know the story. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, sacks Jerusalem and takes Israel captive, and he takes some of the best and the finest of the children, and he wants to groom them and make them able to stand with him and his king and his court. He wants the finest to do that. And so he pulls out many of them. And notice verse number 4 before we get down there. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. That's what they wanted to do, teach them the tongue, teach them the language, teach them all about that. Verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So he's going to give them their drink and give them their meat, but it's his meat that's allowable for them, but not for the Jews. Verse 6, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. Notice verse 8. Because Daniel's purpose led to requests. But Daniel, notice this, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. What am I saying here? You and I are going to have to purpose that we're going to obey God other than what man says. We're going to have to purpose that and say, God, I'm going to obey you. I don't care what laws are enacted. I don't care what liberties they may give me and tell me I can do this. By the way, how many of y'all over 21? Guess what? All of you can drink alcohol if you so choose. It's deemed appropriate by the government.
But now, how many of us do drink? I would say very few, because we have a higher mandate that says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raising, and raising. Raising, whosoever thereby is deceived, is not wise. So we have a higher law, although we can do it. I mean, y'all can smoke cigarettes. You're over 18, you can smoke cigarettes. I mean, y'all smoke cigarettes, amen? Many of us don't, some do, amen? They say, well, cigarettes ain't gonna send me to hell. They won't, like that's been a situation, they feel like you've been there, amen? But many of the laws that we have in this country, we can do them, but many of us choose not to, based upon the knowledge that we have of the Word of God. Amen. Now, if I don't have the knowledge, guess what? I'm gonna do some of those things. That just goes with the territory. They're placed in a situation here where they have this meat that's unlawful for a Jew and this wine that's unlawful for a Jew offered to them, like you and I are going to be in America and have things offered to us. Same-sex marriage is offered to you. Other things are going to be offered to you. Abortion, lesbian, gay, and bisexual, transgender rights. Certain things are going to be offered to you. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he what? Requested. Does it say, therefore he got belligerent? Therefore he got ugly? Therefore he gave a piece of his mind? Therefore he stood up and said, bless God, I'm a Jew and I don't do that? No, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, notice this, that he might not defile himself. No ugliness. He didn't get an attitude. He didn't cop bad and say, but you know who I am? My God is able to smite you down and kick you over. He didn't say that. What am I saying? Over the next 4 years, like you have done over the previous 4 years and before that, we will have the purpose in our hearts not to defile ourselves with society's agenda of what they say is right, as opposed to what God said is wrong. We're going to have to say, I'm opposed to that. I'm not going to do that. Hey, folks, have me at my job all the time. Hey, we're going over to this bar. I said, I'm not going. Why? As a Christian, that's not what I do. Well, it's not going to hurt you. I said, it's not going to help me either. By the way, you'll be drinking and driving. Well, we're going over here to hang out and do this. Are you coming? No, I'm not going because I don't do that. Well, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it for a Christian? And they couldn't answer me. So you know what I said? I said, well, you give me a good biblical answer, then I'll join you. Until you give me a good biblical answer, then I'll join you. I had one of my coworkers always would say, you are too good. Come with me to the better side. He said, you are just too good. You are just too good. And he used to try to push my buttons to get me mad. And one day he pushed the right button. And I got mad. He said, holy man, you got mad. I said, you really don't want to see me mad. Because the old man comes out. And the old man is not a good person. I said, and I will give you the peace of my mind that I reserved to have burned forever. Amen. And, we don't have to get it involved. By the way, sometimes it may be enough to purpose in our heart not to defile ourselves and people will leave us alone. You going to do this? No, I'm not going to do that. Okay. And sometimes just the purpose that we have is enough. But other times it may not be enough and we may have to request not to participate like Daniel did here. But we cannot and we must not be ugly about it. Daniel requested not to do it. Daniel said, you know what? I'm going to request of the prince of the eunuchs that I not defile myself. And I like what verse 9 says. And God had brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. He had compassion on him. By the way, you might not always get that. You might get the reverse. You might get someone who's belligerent. But they may not be kind to you. Hey. Once I had that in my job, they wanted me to do some things that were not right, and I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And they weren't so kind to me. But you know what? I had a higher authority. And I had to request not to do those things. Did they like me? No. But you know what? I'm glad God loves me.
I don't do what I do for the approval of men. And I praise God for it. But that's not why I do what I do. They didn't have a heaven to put me in. They didn't have a hell to put me in. And those are the next weeks, the next days. Daniel's purpose led to requests. Our purpose may lead to requests. We cannot be ugly. We cannot afford to be ugly. There's enough ugliness going on already. There is enough. Somebody's got to stop and say, you know what? Let's live the type of Christianity that Jesus lived. You know what? Let's live the type of Christianity that Paul lived. Paul would rather get beat up than fight back. Well, I'm not advocating to get beat up. Right? I'm not at all. But preachers are going to be sitting there, take my blows. No, run. Amen. Run is never out of style. Amen. I have run many a times. Amen. You don't have to sit there and let somebody beat you down and talk you down and belittle you. You don't have to do it. Amen. Well, I can tell you this. It may happen. Someone may throw some choice words at you. Doesn't mean you throw some choice words at that guy. Damn, say God bless you. God loves you. Amen. People get mad at the cash register. God loves you. They just come like, hey, we used to. God loves you. What are you going to say back to that? I want him to love you. He loves you anyway. Amen. Can't get right. What am I saying? Let's do our dead level best to be like Daniel when it comes to certain things. Let's purpose in our heart. And when the purpose is not sufficient, let us request not to get involved with whatever it is that's contrary to God's law. And let's not be ugly, Father. There's enough ugly Christians going on right now. Don't throw your hat into an ugly Christian. Say, preacher, what is an ugly Christian? It's not Christ-like. It's not like Paul is ugly. Amen. If you're thinking about giving somebody a piece of your mind, it's probably not a good piece to give. And for let me help you out, son. Same-sex marriage people are people too. They're people too. They're men and women that Jesus loves and died for.
Amen.
It could be the love of God that they need to see in you and me and letting our light so shine before men. That would be the deciding factor to change them from who they are to what God intends them to be. But you will never win them by being ugly.
Amen.
Jesus didn't win people by being ugly. Paul didn't win people by being ugly. And on down, Daniel didn't. That's a work of God. And God can do that work through you and through me. But first of all, we've got to have that love. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need that love. For God so loved the world that he had his only begotten Son. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. You got to believe on him and say, preacher, you don't know my life. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. I don't, but Jesus does. And guess what? He loves you. Or like we said to the woman caught in adultery, he said, woman, where are thy accusers? She said, no man condemned me. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. He didn't condemn her, but he didn't condone the sin. What did he say? Go and sin no more. It's implied that he didn't agree with her sin. Because he said, go and sin no more. He didn't condemn, he didn't condone. He said, you need to go and get things settled and move on. Folks, we have to make sure we're not condemning people. That's God's job. He's already condemned it. But don't you join in that. You just get the word of God. Word of God is sufficient. But don't be ugly. Don't be ugly. It says, let your light so shine. Let our light shine. If you're here without Christ today, I invite you to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins and accept the love of God. Why? He died for you. He died for me. You're listening online, you need to have Christ as your Savior as well. But as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. If you're without Christ, make that decision today. And Christians, let's run our race. Believe in Jesus, and let's not be ugly about it. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. And thank you that no matter who's in the White House, or is you're on the throne, and you're still king. As we leave here today, we don't leave with anything else, so we don't want to be ugly about the elections. We don't want to be ugly with the facts of the matter as to who's been elected. Lord, we want to let our light so shine. But we want to make sure that on purpose we're living for God. And when that purpose is not enough for those around us, help us to make requests and not be ugly about it like Daniel did. Daniel's purpose led to requests. Help our purpose lead to requests when we have to. And help us not to be ugly about anything. Lord, there may be some without Christ. Help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to receive Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Help us with the transition. It appears it's not going to be a smooth transition, but it doesn't stop us from praying that you work in the heart. President Trump, Lord, help them to relinquish and concede to the American people's votes. I want to make a smooth transition. We know there'll be some good that Biden and Harris will do, just like there's some good that Trump and Pence have done. There's going to be some bad that Biden and Harris will do, just like there's some bad that Trump and Pence have done. Lord, help that not to affect how we pray for them, how we live as a Christian, and how we continue to give the gospel. Thank you for loving us. God directed me in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, when looking around. G2's going to play a short hymn of invitation. Maybe in the quiet of your heart, you need to ask God to help you purpose in your heart. Not to defile yourself. Then when that purpose is not enough, you may have to make some requests. Maybe you need to ask God to grant you that power. The same song, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And perhaps today you need to ask God to give you that power to stand, to lean, to trust. When the request has to be made, they may not be as nice as the unit was to Daniel. But still, you can't get ugly. You're going to let your light shine. Let's live for Jesus day after day. Be here today without Christ. Why don't you come and seek myself out, Pastor White out, Mrs. Dawson out, Mrs. White, Brother Hall, Mrs. Hall, one of our leaders. They'd be more than happy to share with you the Word of God and how we can be saved today. Listening online, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Shoot me an email. Are you glad to talk with me about how you can be saved? Folks, the election is pretty much a done deal. We may not agree with the choice. We may not agree with the people. But we don't have to. We just have to pray. We're in our race the way God has to. Let's live for Jesus. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. And Lord, as we go forward into the next days, the next weeks, the next months, then into the next year when the inauguration takes place, Lord, help us to continue to pray for President Trump and Vice President Pence, and continue praying for President Biden and Senator Harris. Lord, that we may see a smooth transition, and Lord, that we may see some things come together in this nation. But we know that it's not going to truly come together until Jesus Christ comes and is king. But until then, Lord, help us as God's people to shine. Help us not to be ugly. And help us to live our lives looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And he is our king and our prince of peace. And Lord, when people don't want to be peaceable, help us to still extend peace. The peace that passes all understanding. We thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for our guests, our visitors. Thank you for those viewing online. Thank you for the protocols you've given us for COVID. Lord, continue to help in our state and our nation with the rise and the increase, and help all things to be done according to your plan as we join in on your agenda. And we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here today online. Thank you for being here as well. Pastor Isaac, our closing.